This morning, John chapter 5, verses 30 to 47. This will be part 1. Next week will be part 2. The title of this section is The Sevenfold Witness or Testimony of Jesus Christ. The Sevenfold Testimony of Jesus Christ. Remember in verses 1 through 18, the Lord healed the man at the pool of Bethesda. The Jewish leaders asked the man, "Why are you carrying your bed? It's the Sabbath day." And he said, "A man commanded me to get up and carry my bed." Later, coming to reveal to the Jews that it was Jesus who told him that. At first, they were seeking the Lord because he was breaking the Sabbath day by commanding this man to carry his bed. But secondly, when they confronted him with that issue, Jesus said, "My Father works today and I work." So the Jews were seeking to kill him not only because he was breaking the Sabbath day, but because he made himself equal to God. Verse 19, we spent 3 weeks on verses 19 through 29. The three amens of Jesus. The first word of verse 19 is apokrineto, which is not the normal word form for to answer someone. That's apokrithē. Apokrineto is actually a response to in a judicial or legal situation. The Lord is accused of committing blasphemy. The Jews are approaching him to put him to death because he made himself equal to God. That's blasphemy if you're not God. So the three amens of Jesus, verses 19 through 23, Jesus said, he talked about the ability of the Son. That the Father has given all ability to the Son. Secondly, verse 24, the second amen, amen, is the audience of the Son. The one who is continually hearing and continually believing. In my word, Jesus said, this person has eternal life. Thirdly, the authority of the Son. Verses 25 to 29. The authority of the Son. All authority has been given to him to raise the dead and call the dead to himself as he has the ability to judge. Now these factual statements, which is what amen means. Amen, amen, repeated three different times. Means of a truth, factual statement. The Father has given all ability to the Son. All those who belong to the Son are His audience. That is, they continually hear and believe His Word. And thirdly, the authority of the Son. That everyone will answer to Christ. And all judgment has been given to Him. Now for the testimony, verses 30 to 47, there is a sevenfold testimony as to the person of Jesus Christ and making these statements. Again, it's presented in legal form according to the law of the Jews. We'll read verses 30 to 47. We'll take verses 30 to 37 today. Verse 30 says, Jesus says, "I myself am not able to do one thing from myself," that is as a source. "According as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my will, but the will of the Father who has sent me. If I myself should testify concerning myself, my testimony is not true." There is another who is testifying concerning me, and I know that the testimony which he testifies concerning me is true. "You yourselves have sent unto John, and he has testified to the truth. But I myself do not receive testimony from man. But I am saying these things in order that you yourselves might be saved. That one, meaning John, was the burning and shining lamp, and you yourselves desired to celebrate for a short time in his light. But I myself have greater testimony than that of John. For the works which the Father gave me to do in order that I should fulfill, these same works which I myself am doing are testifying concerning me that the Father has sent me. The Father who has sent me, he himself has testified concerning me. You neither heard his voice at any time, nor have you seen his form. And you do not have his word abiding in you. Because whom that one, that is the Father, sent, this one, you yourselves do not believe. You are searching the Scriptures, because you yourselves are thinking that in them you have to have eternal life. And they are the ones who are testifying concerning me. And you do not desire to come to me in order that you might have life. I do not receive glory from man, but I have known you that the love of God you do not have in yourselves. I myself have come in the name of my Father, and you do not receive me. If another should come in his own name, that one you will receive. How are you able to believe, you who are receiving glory from one another, and not you do not seek the glory that comes from God only? Do not think that I myself will accuse you to the Father. The one who is accusing you is Moses, into whom you yourselves have trusted. For if you believed Moses, you would have believed me. For that one wrote concerning me. And if you are not believing the writings of that one, how will you believe my words? There's a sevenfold witness and a sevenfold testimony of Christ in this text. We're going to take four of them this morning in verses 30 through 37. The first one is verses 30 through 32. The Lord's testimony is not from himself. We have to understand this statement first and the presentation first in order to understand what is the testimony of Christ. As a matter of fact, what is the testimony of Christ is that the Lord does not testify about himself. That establishes the truth. He repeats in verse 30 what he did in verse 19, that the Son is not able to do anything from himself. He says, according to as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. And the reason why it is just is because I do not seek my will, but the will of the one who has sent me. If I should testify concerning myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who is testifying concerning me, and I know that his testimony, which he testifies concerning me, is true. He establishes the fact that if he testifies concerning himself, his testimony is not true. Not that it wouldn't be true, but that does not establish fact in the Jewish court of law. For in the law it states that something must be established by two or three witnesses. So the Lord says, if I speak from out of myself concerning myself and to speak who I am, it doesn't mean that I'm not speaking the truth, but if you're in a court of law, you have to have two or three witnesses. And so Jesus says, if I testify concerning myself, my testimony is not true. Now, I think the principle there is very interesting, something that I've carried on into everyday life in the Spirit from understanding this text. Somebody will come up to me and say, so what is your ministry in the body of Christ? What is your gift? I tell them, I don't say. Whatever God's Spirit is doing, whatever the God's Spirit testifies, that's what I am. Because I can be deceived. You don't know how many people have passed through this church that have approached me and said, God has called me to the ministry, and they've told me what ministry it is, but there was no testimony by God's Spirit, either through His life or through the body of Christ. The body of Christ recognized nothing from the Spirit of God about that person's life concerning those things. But he would testify concerning himself. And he would blame the rest of the body of Christ if they didn't recognize his calling. Well, if God's Spirit has called, God's Spirit will testify. And God's Spirit will manifest what our function is in the body of Christ. We don't need. We can give answer in defense if someone wants to hear from us. But we ourselves, testifying concerning ourselves, does not establish truth. Jesus said in verse 32 that there is another who is testifying concerning me. Interesting, if you're following in the Greek text, notice that the other who is testifying is allos. Heteros means someone of a different kind. Allos is somebody of the same kind. Jesus is saying somebody else, another one of the same kind as I am, is the one who is testifying concerning me, and his testimony is true. Now, the second testimony, verses 33 to 35, he says, you have sent to John. This is not the one that he's talking about. He is not saying that John is the other who is testifying concerning me. We won't get the other until we get to verse 36. But he is bringing John into the picture because John was a testimony of Jesus Christ. He says, you have sent unto John, and he has testified concerning the truth. But I, notice this, Jesus said, I myself do not receive testimony from man. He said, John was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a short time to rejoice and to celebrate in his light. John was a testimony of Christ. Jesus uses John as a testimony of Christ, but at the same time he's saying, but I do not receive testimony from man. God does not rely on us to be his testimony. God's Spirit uses me to be a witness for Christ. But that's not necessary. God testifies concerning himself. In Acts 1:8, Jesus told the disciples that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. Not you should be, or you ought to be. You will be. Because it will be God's Spirit in us that testifies concerning the things of Christ. And in that way, we are a testimony. Yet on the other hand, if some religious leaders or some human being wants to come along and point at us and use us as an excuse to not believe in Jesus Christ, we need to know right away that the Lord says, I do not receive testimony from man. Now, I don't know about you, but that's both an encouragement to me to walk with the Lord and let Him manifest Himself through my life, but it is also true that if somebody uses me as an excuse for their unbelief in Christ, that's not an excuse. If someone stands before the Lord and says, because of Him, I rejected Jesus Christ and I'm going to hell because of Him, that's not an excuse. God does not receive testimony from man. If people receive Christ through us, and that's what we desire, if people receive Christ through us, it is God's Spirit who is testifying But we can have our moments. We can have our times and our weaknesses and our human frailty where people will use us as excuses to not believe in the Lord. So Jesus said, for a time you were willing to celebrate in His light. But in the end of John's life, they even turned against him. Because Jesus said, John the Baptist came neither eating nor drinking, and you said that he's a false prophet and shouldn't believe. The Son of Man comes eating and drinking, you say he has a demon. So he says, which is it? They used an excuse in the end to not believe the testimony of John the Baptist. So Jesus said, you can't listen to me testify and point to John as an excuse for your unbelief. Can't happen that way, because I don't receive testimony from John. He came to testify, but the reason I'm even bringing up this testimony about John, Jesus says, Hina, in order that you might be saved. If you believe his testimony concerning the truth, you will come to me. But if you don't believe his testimony, that's fine, because I don't receive testimony from man. I'm not dependent upon that, though John himself was a witness. Look at verse 36. The third witness, who is the Allos, the other one, 36 is his works. He says, and I myself have a greater testimony than John. For the works which the Father gave me that I should finish, these same works which I am doing bear testimony to me that the Father has sent me. Now it's very important to understand verse 36 because it summarizes the whole ministry of Jesus Christ. Everything that he did. Everything that he did, they were the works that the Father gave him to do as a testimony to who he was. When John the Baptizer was put into prison, he was beginning to doubt whether the Lord himself was a complete fulfillment of the coming Messiah. He sent some of his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the coming one or do we look for another, Allos, somebody just like you? Because John wasn't seeing the scriptures being fulfilled concerning the Messiah. And so the disciples came to Jesus. And they said, John wants to know, are you the coming one or do we look for someone else? Jesus said, go tell John what you see and hear. The blind are receiving their sight. The deaf are hearing. The lame are walking. The dead are being raised. The poor have the gospel preached to them. In other words, all the works that are ascribed to the Messiah, in particular through the prophecy of Isaiah, beginning at chapter 61 and moving on through Isaiah through 66, all the prophecies concerning the Messiah is what Jesus was working. So that when he healed the blind, when he healed the lame, when he healed the sick, when he raised the dead, these were all signs that he is the Messiah. Because Isaiah said that the Spirit of the Lord will be upon him and he will be doing these things. So Jesus said, I don't even have to testify concerning myself. First of all. Second of all, John testified concerning me. And he spoke the truth, but you found something, a way out to not believe him. But I don't receive testimony from man, but if you believe him, you'll be saved. But if you want to use that as an excuse, I just want to let you know that I don't use testimony from man. But thirdly, my works, which the Father has given me to do. You can take the Old Testament and just put it right over the Lord. Every prophecy, everything that God prophesied that the Messiah would be doing to prove himself to be the Messiah, that's what Jesus did. And whenever he was asked in that instance, are you the coming one or do we look for another? The Lord would always point to the Word of God and say, well, what does the Scripture say that the Messiah would be doing when he comes? Is that not what I'm doing? Put the two together. My works testify that the Father has sent me. So if you understand, and people want to emphasize, for instance, healing. In one instance, it says that Jesus healed everyone. Well, He healed everybody at that instant, in that moment, in that time. He did not heal everyone all the time. The Pool of Bethesda at the beginning of this chapter is an example. He healed one person out of the crowd that was sitting around the pool. And it was for a purpose. To bring about this confrontation with the religious leaders so that His work of raising that man up and healing him, He could present Himself as being equal to God. Having come with the authority and all ability, authority, and audience is given to the Son by the Father. So now He says, now you want a testimony concerning this? That everything that I've just told you is true and that it is not blasphemy? First of all, I'm not going to use myself. I'll mention John, but I'm not using him to bring him into evidence, but John is a testimony, but I don't receive testimony from men. Then He says, my works. My works testify that the Father has sent me. So please note this, that Jesus didn't set up a tent to have a healing meeting in order to make His ministry healing sick people. Every miracle that He performed had a purpose to it. Well, healing's a purpose, right? Well, that wasn't the end or the means, the end and the means of His ministry in healing. It was to perform signs, as I've been pointing out to you. The Word of God, even though the English text would say miracles, it's the word signs. He gave signs. Not everyone was healed. Not all of the dead were raised. Not all of the blind were healed. Not all of the lame were healed. But specific ones were performed in order to be a sign that Messiah has come. And that all of His works that He performed in the physical realm is what His ministry is spiritually. Those who are spiritually blind can be healed. Those who are spiritually crippled can be healed. Those who are spiritually dead can be raised from the spiritual dead. All by the ministry of Christ. Lastly, verse 37. He says, and the Father who has sent me, He Himself has testified concerning me. And you have neither heard His voice at any time, nor have you seen His form. Perfect tense. The Father Himself has testified concerning the Son. That means at this point of time, as recorded in John chapter 5, the Father has already given testimony concerning His Son. That testimony, it gives us a clue as to what the Lord was making reference to, because Jesus said, you have neither heard His voice nor seen His form. Three times in the Gospels it's recorded that the Father said from heaven about His Son, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And He even said, hear Him. So to whomever the Father was speaking, so that they could hear the audible voice of God, God the Father says, this is my Son, this is my beloved, that is the object, the one who is the object of my love, hear Him. Now Jesus didn't come and say, hear me. He says, what did the Father testify? The Father testified, hear Him. He's the object of my love. He's my Son that I have sent. So far the Lord is presenting His testimonies of both what is not and what is a witness. First of all, He eliminates Himself, even though His testimony is true. He says, but if I present it in court, just that alone is not truth. Does not establish truth. I could enter John's testimony into court as evidence, but you would use something against a human being being used as a vessel. Therefore, I do not receive testimony from men. The establishment of me as Messiah, Jesus was saying, is not based on the human vessel that is used. But he says, I'll tell you what is. What I'm going to present into evidence is my works. The works themselves testify that the Father has sent me. I'm also going to enter into evidence the Father. Because by His voice, three different times, He testified concerning me to all who had the ability to hear and all who were open to hear that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. The other things that He's going to offer into evidence that we'll study next week is number one, the Word of God. The Scriptures testify concerning the Son. The sixth thing, and the second thing for next week, is that Jesus comes in the Father's name. He doesn't come in His own name. And we'll study the implications of that. And then lastly, Moses is the witness concerning Christ. All these things are entered into evidence as to the claims of the Lord as He presents Himself as equal to God. But they're seeking to kill Him because He's broken the law. He's committed blasphemy in their eyes. And so now the Lord is bearing testimony. But I think it's interesting, not only in studying the testimony of Christ Himself concerning Himself, but how the Lord presents what testimony is. If we testify concerning ourselves and our people have to believe our word, well, it could either be true or not true. I might be telling the truth, but there's no way of telling or knowing unless there are other pieces of evidence. Even human beings, references. You can use best friends, relatives that give you a good reference. But in our situation, as we fellowship together in the family of the Lord, it is God's Spirit that testifies. His work through us. God's call upon us. Our relationship with the Son. Our encouragement to people is, seek the Lord. What is He testifying? Put the facts together, connect the dots, listen to God's Spirit, test the fruit, let God's Spirit testify, let the works testify. We don't need to testify concerning ourselves. We can give people reasons, we can give testimony, but the ultimate person that gives true testimony is God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When those three testify, it is true. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can study the testimony of Christ. And it is interesting that though He was all God, in human form, yet He was not able to give testimony from out of Himself as a source. He relied totally on God. And even though the Father testified through John the Baptist, even John the Baptist was not entered into evidence, though he is a witness. But as we've learned this morning, it is the works of the Lord. Help us to understand more maturely the ministry of Christ. He didn't go around like Peter Pan, touching people magically to make their lives a bed of roses. He had a purpose in everything that He did. It bore witness to who He is. Also, as we will see in the coming weeks, when the Lord did perform a miracle, He gained a following. And when Jesus turned and said, "You've seen the signs, now you must trust in Me," that people turned around and walked away. Help us to see, as Paul said, we live by faith, not by sight. It doesn't take a physical miracle or to see some miracle happen to cause us to believe and to trust. We already have the testimony. We already received the signs. Now God's Spirit bids us to trust this one. So far, He has been presented as being the Creator of the universe, who has come in human form and is the embodiment of God Himself, and the testimony of the Godhead. Your Spirit bids us to put our trust in Him, to live by faith and not by sight, to know that this One is the Almighty and the All-Powerful, the One who will answer prayer, the One who will move, the One who will sustain us and perform all things according to His will. Teach us to trust Him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.